Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In Louisiana, a former police officer pleads guilty in a chase that left two teens dead and one injured. In Alabama, a road rage incident leads to an altercation with teens at a gas station. And in Ohio, a judge throws out a confession for murder of his sons. These stories and more are coming at you today on Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. Boys,
what's up?
What up, Michael?
Welcome to Broussard.
Broussard, yes. Underneath that giant American flag, Broussard. Right?
I was very impressed with you scaling the flagpole today to climb all the way up there.
But you know, that was
really athletic of you.
Yeah, well, just hold on. I got more.
You got more coming?
Yeah, I do.
He's like Toby Keith. He's good one time.
Yeah, not as good as I once was.
That's right.
And this being my old stomping grounds, y'all, we're recording from Parish Forensics and Louisiana Pet Crematory. Yes. And guess what? We have the Roy and the two Kristens with us.
For all of you folks out there who thought they didn't exist,
right?
They were just names we made up.
Now you know.
We're here today to prove that Roy and the two Kristens are real.
Y'all want to say hello?
Say a quick hello.
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 They're real.
Hello.
They're
good real. Morning.
They do exist.
Right. So, y'all, it's Roy and Kristen. Kristen, and evidently, like names, I screwed up hair color. And I said before I was talking about it, I said that one black and one brown.
Yeah.
Have brown hair, for the record.
We're qualifying your hair as brown?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Roy on that. I'm thinking black.
I'm thinking black and light black. So.
I'm no expert on hair, so.
Jim's is natural, though.
Yeah, right? That's right.
Y'all,
I'm a natural bald.
You're not going to believe this facility that they have here in Broussard. We're going to do a lot of videos and pictures and post them on social media, so you'll get to actually see the products we've been talking about. And Roy, I know that you can give us a little bit about history about the business.
Yeah, so Parish Forensics was originally Louisiana Forensics Center, which began in 2007. I think around 2014, we built a new facility. In doing so, we decided to build an on-site funeral home with two on-site crematories. It was around 2020 when we decided to move into the pet arena. And so we have two on-site human crematories and two on-site pet crematories, all of which, all three businesses are separate but on the same location. Kind of like a one-stop shop for death, if you will.
Right.
let us do the branding, right? I don't think we want to go with that one.
That's a steady business, right? And but it's a beautiful facility, several buildings here, and you employ over 20-something people, you said?
Yeah, just over 20, I believe.
Like this morning, you brought us some great boudin and evangeline bread. But they had a death investigator from Washington Parish in.
Right.
So you get them from all over the state, and that on that side, as far as autopsies.
Right. For parish forensics, we serve roughly 20 or 22 parishes for their autopsy service. And so every day we may have investigators, both medical legal investigators from the coroner's office as well as law enforcement investigators right. here from all over the state here to view their autopsies.
Right. And then, yeah, it's pretty amazing, right?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, I think it's awesome that you're going to let me use the scalpel I brought today and do a first incision. I mean, the first few inches don't matter that much, right? So if I go outside the lines a little bit. But actually, last night, one of the things you said that really struck with me, and I thought, yeah, of course, was when you said that the folks who are dealing with the deceased pets are a lot more emotional than the folks who are
right.
here
right.
Yeah.
for funerals. So people do love their doggies.
Yeah. Fur babies.
Right. And I have a bunch of them. So Kristen, tell us what you do.
So I am a licensed funeral director and embalmer, and then I'm also the general manager over all three companies, the funeral home, the forensic center, and the crematory.
I mean, you look like you're 18 years
old. She's like she's like Chick Dexter.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that keeps you busy, right?
It keeps me very busy.
Right.
Management is way harder than being a funeral director.
Yeah, dealing with people. I get it. Miss Crystal?
I am the brand manager and like the marketing manager. So I'm just overseeing the branding and the marketing and kind of like the design aspect of all three companies. So that just kind of encompasses everything. I started out in the forensic side and helping with autopsies in the beginning, but now I've transitioned into marketing.
Right.
Like really wherever we need.
To just omnipresence. Yeah.
You've done a lot of stuff to make sort of death cool. Like that, your marketing is decidedly different than a funeral home's traditional marketing.
We try to be. Yep. We try to be for sure.
Did you do the marketing like for the stickers and all that stuff? So y'all, when I went to the LOPA and the coroner's conference that Roy and the two Christians had the table set up, some of the coolest stickers. And I was like, damn, I meant to get some before I left. So we can get some today and we'll post the pictures of them. The true crime fans are going to love it.
Well, I'll just say about the marketing aspect, kind of what you're saying with the coolness and tying it all into death, which is hard to do because right. we are compassionate about our families. Like mm-hmm. we love the families we serve. We know they're going through a tough time, but right. at the same time, we know that death is a part of life and right. we try and we want people to just know that we're just like them. I right. mean, we lose people too. We try to bring them in. We try to talk about those memories and have those good conversations and have them leaving with a light heart, those laughs that we can get in when they're going through tough times. Those are the best ones. So, yeah. you know, although we try and take a slightly humorous approach and make it fun and interesting because we know people are interested in this topic, you know, it doesn't take away from the fact that we really care about the families that come in here. Sure.
Absolutely. And you see the families on their worst days, yeah. right? And one of the hardest things I ever had to do as a homicide detective is go tell people their loved ones have been murdered. Yeah. And then y'all deal with it from the, you know, the autopsy and the funeral yeah. side and everything else. So it's, but it's awesome, you know, what y'all do and putting your own personal touch on it. But still being caring and yeah. compassionate and all that. And Roy, you've been doing this forever, right?
Right. I've been in the industry since 1999. But for those of you who really don't understand exactly what we do, Louisiana is 100% coroner state. We have 64 parishes. Some of you may call them counties, but here they're parishes. And we have 64 coroners. And each coroner can utilize whatever autopsy resources they choose. We are the only privately owned forensic autopsy company in the state that provides services to coroners, hospitals, and the general public alike. Wow. So it's a little different. It's a lot different, really, from a medical examiner's system. But we've been very, very fortunate that a lot of the coroners around the state put their trust in us for their autopsy services. So at the end of the day, we provide them with a solid opinion on cause and manner of death, which some family members are good with, and sometimes they're not. It's tough to tell a mom that it was suicide when she thought it was something different.
Right. So, and, I mean, no one wants to believe their child or their loved one, and I had to deal with that a lot over the years.
Right.
Went out. For any other reason, then they don't want to accept the fact. But you provide the clear truth through science and what have you, right? Pretty amazing.
And you have those families that you really get close to, because we had an incident where a young man died of an overdose, and he was at the forensic center, and they chose to use us for cremation services. Right. So we brought him into our care, and me and his mom have formed a really good relationship, just never even really speaking over the telephone,
right,
back and forth via email. She knew what path her son was going down, and she kind of already knew what had happened and what to expect, but she having us to kind of guide her through this part, and she was really lighthearted about it. Every time we talked, we would kind of laugh and joke and go back and forth, and she was just super appreciative of everything. So
that's
you do have those two who kind of expect it and can deal with it.
Speaking of overdose, and if I could, I think we touched briefly on this last night. Parish Forensics has acquired a piece of technology, one of the only kind in Louisiana, where it is a toxicology machine that we can get qualitative and qualitative, meaning we can figure out what drug is in the system and how much of it is in the system. What's unique about it, it's a rapid toxicology machine. So if we have a suspected overdose, we can insert blood of the decedent into the machine, and within 30 minutes time have the drug identified and the amount.
Wow.
Which is incredibly important because of this uptick in overdoses we're seeing, particularly from fentanyl.
Right. Yes. Right.
This is allowing coroners to make a solid decision moving forward if they need an autopsy or not.
Right.
But more importantly, investigators, if they have a suspect that they know or they suspect provided the decedent with the fentanyl and has that drug on their person, we can let them know rapidly. Right. If that drug is in there.
Traditionally, how long would that have taken?
Used to, before this epidemic began, we would get tox back within 7 to 10 days. But now, nationwide, it's such an issue. It's backed tox up to 6 to 8 weeks now.
Right.
Wow.
And this is what I was talking about, y'all. Yeah. One of the innovations that you have as a company. I wish, like on Courtney Coco's case, that we'd have had that. That case would have never been cold. It would have been worked as a homicide, not said accidental. And there's so many cases and so many families that reach out. But I think of all the scenes I've been on, and if we could have had that, it would have been just tremendous.
It's going to be a great tool. That's really going to change the face.
And it cuts out a lot of the, as you said, from an investigator standpoint, but it cuts out the families grieving that question, and my kid wouldn't die from overdose. Somebody must have strangled him or whatever, right? And you say, whether they like it or not. But I think that's going to be a game changer from an investigator standpoint.
We do as well.
Yeah. So,
y'all are so normal.
Yeah.
It's.
You're
no,
not.
No, we,
yeah.
Well, yes, I'm definitely the strangest of the six of us gathered here, but. We had fun time last night going out to dinner together and really getting to know each other. But the picture that you have in your head of people that work in this industry is they're a little bit off. We talked last night about there maybe being a couple of those people running around the building, but you're around the industry a lot. You go to a lot of these trade association events and stuff. Are most people in your position pretty normal, or is there a lot of weird out there?
I guess that's subjective.
You have to find normal. And you can't do that, Mike.
I think stereotypes, which is not accurate.
Yeah.
Like, we don't drive around hearse for a living.
Yeah.
Like, we don't take a hearse home to our house.
You would look good in a hearse. I think
I do wear a lot of black, but not like, heavy metal black.
Yeah, I guess aside from wearing all black, we're fairly normal, yes. I guess.
Absolutely. I do take a more laid-back approach here, though, than your traditional average funeral home. So I think a lot of people in that the community need that. Just not having some grumpy person in a suit staring across a table from you.
Right.
Waiting for you to give them what you want. You know, we try and make it normal for them to come in here and not be scared or intimidated, or they can feel at home.
Well, that, and we really strive to provide families with affordable services. You know, cremation has taken over the traditional burial options, and we have so much to offer families here, what we consider to be the non-traditional options. We just like to have the family feel at home, know that they're not being taken advantage of, not that any funeral home takes advantages of.
Well, there was families. That one in Colorado that maybe took slight advantage of some families.
We're going to talk about our new segment, Ask Roy.
But we like to think we're doing a good job all around, providing families with answers and comfort and closure.
So, Roy, you and I were talking a couple weeks back about something that I think the audience will have a lot of interest in. That's pretty unique in the use of a new boat that you guys have acquired, and being able to go and do some burials at sea.
That's correct. Well, we're going to call it unattended burials at sea.
Unattended burials,
which means we're not going to bring family out with us, but. For families that select this option, we'll take their loved ones' cremated remains. We will respectfully lower their loved ones' remains into the water, all the while videoing the whole process.
Really? That's cool.
Once the remains are released, we'll mark the GPS coordinates. We will provide the family with a certificate of burial with the coordinates of which way where they are. And they'll get a memorial video and the certificate. Wow. I know this is being done in some other areas of the country, but it's certainly not being done here in Louisiana. So we're looking to pave the way once again and give families a different option. And what's really cool about this option is that you don't have to use our funeral home for the cremation. You can be in Iowa, right?
Right.
And if you feel that your loved one would have preferred this option, you can mail us your loved one's remains, and we can facilitate the burial here.
Hey, that's crazy. I'm a big diver and I'm a water baby. So first of all, I want that option. Sign me up for it. But the years ago in Cozumel, one of my buddies runs a dive shop, and when some swim throughs on the reef, they had put somebody's remains inside the reef. It was a big diver, and every year his family would go down and do it. Yeah. So you give him the GPS coordinates. That's super cool. But one more question real quick. What's the name of the boat? At one time, I got a name.
I hadn't named it yet.
Okay, well, hold on to it.
That new.
Yeah, all right. Because one time I had five boats in the yard. My wife said, you got to sell some of these boats.
Well, if I name it something Louisiana, my wife will probably want to kill me. All the companies are named after Louisiana. Right. But I wanted to do that option, Woody. I wanted to explore the Eternal Reef.
Right.
But here in Louisiana, we can't. The waterway where we are, it's mud.
Yeah.
It's not sand, it's mud.
Right, right.
And it's murky. So eventually, you know, the reef would just submerge itself in the mud.
Right.
They do that in Florida, though, which is a really neat option. And divers can go out and memorialize their loved one at these reefs.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And that's what I was going to say, that it is done in a lot of tropical areas. We initially thought about it. We wanted to tie it into our bayou life. There are stipulations and scattering in waterways. So, you know, the closest we can get to bayou style is Gulf of Mexico to be within that scope.
And if you can find one of those artificial reefs and put myself, you know, and then my kids can come fish over me.
Yeah, that's right. Cool. That's cool.
But anyway, hey, thank y'all so much for having us. We're going to get into the regular show, but y'all are awesome. Thank you for the partnership and sponsoring us and being cool people, right?
100%.
Absolutely.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you guys.
Yes. Every morning I try to listen to the show most mornings, and to actually get to talk with you guys has been a real treat.
I love that. Cool.
Well, I told her last night that it's kind of like Love is Blind, the reality show. It's like I'm finally meeting the face to the voice.
The face to the voice.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, we enjoyed it, and you know, beautiful facility here, and we back y'all 1,000%.
Well, and in our case, it's good that Love is Blind. And I know how you were talking last night about how busy you are, and that you found fast forwarding through gym segments allows you to keep up with the show on a daily basis, Kristen.
Whatever.
So I recommend you continue to do that. You'll be able to get through them in 30 minutes or so.
I have to listen to Woody on a faster speed.
Oh, yeah? The 1.5?
Yes, yeah. It's all good, as long as you listen.
That's right.
After you guys show, y'all can come join us in the morgue. We have a surprise for Jim.
Oh,
outstanding.
Hey, we'll make sure to post it. So,
looking forward to it.
Thank you, Roy, and thank you, Kristen and Kristen.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, y'all.
Brown hair. Thanks, black hair.
Anytime.
All right, y'all. Let's get into some crime time for Friday.
All right, and we're going to start off right here in Louisiana. And a former Louisiana police officer has pled guilty on Monday to two counts of manslaughter for the deaths of two teenagers and negligent injuring of a third following a New Year's Eve high-speed crash in 2022. And we actually brought you this story 15 months ago.
Yeah.
It was when we first started this show. So this is an update on that case. The judge ordered the former officer to surrender at the West Baton Rouge Parish Jail by May 23rd. If he does not show, he'll have to serve the full 32 years. David Cawthorn was traveling at speeds of around 100 miles per hour just before he went through a red light and slammed into a vehicle carrying Burley High School cheerleaders Maggie Dunn, who was 17, and Caroline Gill, who was 15, along with Dunn's 20-year-old brother, Liam Dunn. The girls were killed in the crash. Dunn's brother was seriously injured. The accident happened as Cawthorn was chasing Tyquil Zanders, 26, who was accused of stealing a family member's car in Baton Rouge before fleeing into the neighboring parish. Zander, who ran multiple red lights, was also indicted on manslaughter charges and aggravated flight. Cawthorn's trial before District Judge Tanya Lurie was set to begin on Monday. However, District Attorney Tony Clayton was quoted as saying the case was the epitome of the victims having their rights heard. It's the quintessential case in which the victims had a say in what took place. He did take a plea deal in order for that trial not to start. Cawthorn was placed on leave from the Addis Police Department after the crash, and he resigned about a month later. When he was released from prison as a condition of his plea deal, Cawthorn will be restricted from working in law enforcement, and he must speak to law enforcement and schools about his actions. And before we get into the commenting on this, I do want to mention there are two interviews that actually dropped yesterday with Kieran Chawla, and they on Unfiltered with Kieran, and they are unbelievable interviews with the families, because the first thing we ask is, how do the families feel about this 10-year, essentially a 10-year sentence, because 22 years were suspended?
Right. And what did they say?
Tune
in and listen.
Louisiana Unfiltered. Check that out and you'll hear what they said. But it was amazing to see that the son, this was his first interview ever that he's ever given on this. Yeah. And really, he had like a 5% chance of living.
Yeah. Well, I know Tony Clayton personally, the district attorney over there, and I know he was pissed, right? And rightfully so. Yeah. This guy did this and with total disregard, thinking that badge had made him bulletproof and what have you, and he killed those babies in the prime of life, and then almost killed this young man. So, I don't think 10 years is enough.
I don't either.
Is it fairly common for a plea deal to get struck that late?
Like, always. Right, so the best plea deals are struck to the advantage of, well, you know, the DA has to agree with it too, but the day of the trial.
Because the leverage is on their side to save the state some money, the county.
Well, and whatever the reasons may be, the family may not want to go through it and have all the stuff done, but they'll wait till on the defense side, that, you know, had happened so many times, they wait until voir dire starts and they're like, oh, fuck it, I'm going to take the deal, right? Because I don't like, you know, the jury's coming in and they're going to hear this and, you know, I might get the maximum. But, you know, hopefully the family, I'm sure Tony Clayton didn't make the deal without the family's approval.
They approved of it.
Yeah. And then, but nothing is going to bring them back, those babies back. Yeah.
No. And just a, you know, we talk about this a lot with these police chases and it's such a fine line, but in this case, man, 9 seconds before he hit those kids, his quote was, fuck, this is going to hurt.
Yeah.
And he never hit the brakes.
Yeah.
Never. 9 seconds?
9 seconds before he hit him. He knew he was going to hit him and never hit the brakes.
Yeah. Panic.
Yeah.
You think that's, wow.
I've had people panic and go to hit the brakes and they actually stomp the gas.
Well, and I remember that. I mean, it was the guy had stolen his dad's car, right?
Yeah, it wasn't like he was a serial killer or something like that.
You would think that the communication would be, look, I mean, we're going to get this guy, so
well, and proper procedure would say to back off, you know, at a certain point, correct, Woody?
Right, well, that's up to the supervisor, but now they changed it where you're supposed to call in when your pursuit starts and how fast you're going and what direction and what the traffic flow is and all this stuff, and the supervisor ultimately makes the decision. Now, back in my day, we didn't really have that. We just chased them. But you had to use your common sense. Like if a motorbike's going down the interstate at 150 and you get out in front of it, you're not going to put a spike strip out because you're going to kill the guy, right?
Right.
It's not worth it for them running away. But that's, you know, it happens. I like to think it happens a lot less now, but it happens. It's part of the job. People make poor judgment calls.
Yeah, they were. And, you know, just prayers
for
their families.
Yeah, and those who loved them. Yeah. So,
well, let's go. We're going to revisit another story that everybody will remember. A judge ruled that the confession of an Ohio father accused of killing his 3 sons is inadmissible after finding out that he was not properly advised of his Miranda rights. You guys will remember this. This is the father that killed his 3 young sons execution style.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he had the one run away and then brought him back in and killed him. So this happened over the summer. The guy's name is Chad Dorman. He was arrested in June and authorities accused him of fatally shooting his 3 boys execution style at their Monroe, Ohio township home. He's since been indicted on 21 charges, including 9 counts of aggravated murder. He has pleaded not guilty. Authorities said that during his interrogation, Dorman confessed to the killings. However, in January, his attorneys filed a motion to suppress the confession, alleging that police had failed to properly advise Dorman of his Miranda rights. Apparently, the officers continued to question Dorman after he had asked for a lawyer, which, as we all know, is a violation of your Fifth Amendment rights. So an Ohio judge has now ruled in favor of the motion, and really, the judge had no choice.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is Judge Richard Ferenc ruled that prosecutors will not be able to use statements obtained by police during Dorman's interrogation, saying that the police had violated his Miranda rights by continuing to question him after he had asked for an attorney. The defendant's Miranda rights were violated when the custodial interrogation continued after the defendant had unequivocally and unambiguously invoked his right to counsel. So that was the quote from the judge. So police were alerted to the June killings when a woman called 911 and screamed that her babies had been shot. The sheriff's office said back when that had happened, the 3 children, Clayton age 7, Hunter age 4, and Chase age 3, were lined up by their father and shot. One of the boys, as I said, tried to run, but police allege that Doerman hunted him down and shot him. Police body camera footage reportedly showed officers forcing Doerman to the ground and handcuffing him after finding him sitting on the steps with a rifle next to him. When asked what was going on, Doerman calmly looked at the sheriff's deputy and said, "Nothing." The boy's mother was injured when trying to protect her sons from the gunshots, but she lived. So he executed his three sons. Usually it's the whole family and then suicide at the end. This guy was different. So he is set to go on trial in July, despite losing the confession. I think there's a very large pile of evidence here. I don't
shame on those cops for doing that. I mean, that's just stupidity. But there's when you were reading this, I'm like, it doesn't even matter. I mean, they got the mother's a living witness and all that, and they're going to have the forensics and everything else, so they're going to get him. But that's why I always advise everybody over the Miranda rights when I start talking to them. And, I mean, just because you never know what people are going to say and tell you. But this one, you're doing a triple murder of kids, and you don't, or he says that he wants a lawyer. Shut up. Okay, you can have a lawyer. Yeah. I mean, you could still tell him stuff, but tell him you don't answer me. I mean, I've been like, "Hey, bitch, you can have a lawyer. That's your right. But guess what? I'm gonna put your ass in. I'm gonna get you the needle. I'm not done, right? But I'm not questioning. It doesn't mean I can't tell them what I'm thinking."
Hey, you just talked about a case like that on the original.
Yep, that's exactly right on Why Not Nine. Yep. Yep. So interesting.
Now, Ohio doesn't have death penalty. I don't think they do.
I can't keep up with the states. I know Louisiana's got it. It's coming back.
In a big way.
Well,
whatever the most they can throw at this guy is, hopefully they will. It's one of the most horrific things, stories I think we've covered in a year and a half. So.
Yeah. And it's interesting, and we are now working our way around to where a lot of these cases we brought you initially are getting adjudicated.
Right.
We're able to provide. I can't tell you the amount of times I get asked questions about whatever happened with this case. Well, guess what? It takes about that long for it to work its way through the legal justice system. That
15 months is actually pretty fast.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we will be bringing you more updates, which is now that these cases do have a conclusion to them.
You guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. Cool. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different. And in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, "Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, "Back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple And in the end, mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Speaking of updates, we brought you a story about a teacher who had resigned after her OnlyFans page was discovered a little while back.
It's the one from Missouri.
St. Clair High School. Yeah. Well, we've got a little update, and she just can't seem to get a break. A former teacher at a high school in, this was St. Louis, resigned after her OnlyFans page was reported to district officials. She's been fired just a few days into her new job. Brianna Kopich was a teacher for 5 years, spending two at St. Clair High School. She was put on leave in October of 2023 after they found out about that OnlyFans. And she said that she was using it to supplement her teacher salary, which obviously they don't pay them enough. After her OnlyFans became public, she disclosed that she made $1 million on that platform. Her teaching salary at that time was $42,000. After leaving the district, she said she struggled to find her purpose. Not having to get up and go to a 9-to-5 has been really tough on my mental health, she said.
$1 million worth of tough.
Kopich says she got a job with the Compass Health as a community support specialist. She said she gave the company her previous employment history and the correct information when she applied, but she was fired only a few days into the job. I lasted 5 days before they put me on leave and subsequently fired me this month, she said. They admitted they didn't call my references or Google me before they hired me. Well, they definitely didn't Google her.
It only took 5 days for everybody in the company to look her up.
Yeah, so they claim I violated their social media policy, but will not respond to me with how I violated it. So
she's got a case there.
Yeah.
She's got a case there.
She may very well, but my question is, why are you going to get a new job when you're making $1 million on OnlyFans?
She made
that's my job.
25 years of teacher's salary in that month or two on OnlyFans.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, she's always got a good side hustle she can rely on if she needs to.
As long as she's young.
You know, my question is, what are y'all's thoughts on that?
They're going to get hammered by the feds for firing her for, I don't know.
Absolutely. She may have decided after whatever the time period she was on OnlyFans that she wanted to go in a different direction with her life. She wanted to have a more respected profession or get into a more respected profession. And for them to hire her and then fire her immediately, that's on her. Hired her. They had the chance to look at.
They didn't do the resume.
They didn't do the due diligence. Yeah. And
I don't see how now. I don't know what she signed, and you never know what she signed. She's probably an at-will employee. They may have a clause in there that they can fire for cause or without cause.
Work state. Yeah. I don't know if they are, but. Yeah.
But it's at minimum, it's a very bad look for them as employers. And she has the ability to make some noise with the following she has. If I were her, I would make a big deal out of this.
Yeah, she's going to get more followers. Yeah.
Mike would like to represent you.
Yeah. I am available, yes. Thank you.
That's crazy.
I have to talk to my partner at home and make sure she's okay with my involvement. But, you know, she would have no problem with that, I don't think. Really interested to get your guys' opinion on this next story. So we're going to Brooklyn, and a Brooklyn tow truck driver is accused in a fatal attack of a 61-year-old man. But listen to how this happened. So the the truck driver was cut loose Monday because of a legal loophole, according to prosecutors. But here's what went down. Kevin Johnson, age 30, allegedly delivered a single punch that sent this guy, Carlisle Thomas, who was 61, twice his age, barreling into the pavement where he fatally struck his head. This all happened during an argument over a $10 parking spot at a Brownsville Shell station on Saturday. On Saturday evening at around 8:45, someone called Thomas to warn him that the gas station manager had called a tow truck to impound his car. So he comes running downstairs. I guess his apartment building was like right next door. He opens the door of the tow truck. And the second he opens the door of the tow truck, this guy, Johnson, punches him and he falls backward out of the truck where he was, you know, he was leaning into the truck and falls backward and bangs his head on the concrete and he just dies right there. Somebody who witnessed the whole thing said he never touched the guy, only touched his door, and the guy came out and punched him. He's a cool guy. He's got a young son. Why would they do that to him? One punch killed him. Thomas was a former jockey. So this is a little man. He was a, you know, he was a jockey at Aqueduct Racetrack in Queens. He's got a son, a daughter, and a stepchild. I mean, if you are a former jockey, I mean, to ride, I think you got to be in the like 100, 110, 120 pound range. I mean, you are a small person. His stepdaughter said that the gas station would charge people in the neighborhood $10 to park overnight if they couldn't find a spot on the street, but that Thomas had a relationship with the shop and sometimes wouldn't pay until he picked his car up the next day. He's lived in the neighborhood a long time and has a relationship with them, so he didn't pay right away this time. This is his stepdaughter talking, and for some reason, they called the tow truck. He's verbally arguing with the tow truck guy, and from what I hear, the next guy hits him so hard, he fell to the floor and his heart stopped. The hit was so hard to the floor that he died right there. So he didn't make it to the hospital, and the hospital was 3 minutes away. Johnson was granted supervised release at his arraignment on Monday on a charge of third-degree assault. Here's why the charge is third-degree assault and not murder or manslaughter. The New York law only allows for charges relating to the punch, and there's no way to prove intent to cause death or any other serious injury, according to police.
Yeah.
So is that a...
I don't disagree with that. It's going to have to be adjudicated whether this guy aggressively, you know, opened his door and the guy was defending himself. But when we talked in the past couple shows about specific intent, there's no specific intent. He punched him, but he had any intent to kill him like the mosquito on the hand. He punched him. As a result of the punch, he falls and cracks his head. That happens on work cases like that. If he gets convicted and this guy... Well, you know, if he came out of his truck and hit him and he fell, he's going to get like manslaughter. But I mean, tow truck drivers, you can imagine.
They
get harassed all the time.
There's not a lot of context around this to say what he was doing to the tow truck driver. I mean, guy just swung on him.
Yeah, if he opened the tow truck door, if I was the tow truck driver, I'd knock the shit out of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got a right to defend yourself. Climbing in the tow truck.
This is a 61-year-old man who weighs whatever he weighs, a former jockey. He's opening the door to say, please don't tow me. I park here all the time.
An 85-pound female, if I'm driving that truck and you come and you say, you motherfucker, drop my truck, you're opening my door, shit, I'm going to defend myself.
He might have thought he had a gun.
Yeah, or he was going to.
And we don't know that he was saying please. He may have been cussing him out.
The law doesn't say, like in Louisiana, it's reverse. Everywhere else, assault is the unwanted touching. Here, it's the threat. But if you are assaulting me verbally, and I'm in reasonable apprehension of fear that you're going to attack me, I have a right to defend myself. And that's. Is what it is. That's why we have courts.
What they end up charging him with is misdemeanor that hasn't been bail eligible since the statewide bail reforms in New York. So he was just released, slap on the wrist, and guy's dead. And I don't know, guys. I mean, I think you look at some. I mean,
if your son was driving that tow truck for a living and had been threatened numerous times, and somebody aggressively opens the door and is like, you know, saying hey, things,
and is an old man that weighs 110 pounds, I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, we can agree to disagree. It is sad.
It is. It is really sad. But I don't. You know, what do you think about this, Mike? Do you think he had the intent to kill him, or do you think he's just trying to punch
him? No, he didn't have the intent to kill him, but he had the intent to punch him, and that's what he did. And you know, if you're twice someone's size and half their age,
what's he supposed to do? Hugging him and kiss him out of his truck?
Well, how about he talks to him?
Well, if you're open to my door,
people chase tow trucks.
I understand
all around the country.
I understand that, but
every day,
do they climb inside a door and open a door? If that part is true, what am I supposed to think as a driver? I don't care what size you are. You're screaming at me and you're opening the door. Shit, you're coming after me. I'm gonna defend myself. But that's why it's America. It'll be adjudicated.
It'll be adjudicated.
Right? And hey, I want to know what happens, because I bet you. It's going to depend on. I mean. If the guy really opened his door or not.
Well, they're not denying that he opened his door. So,
yeah.
You know, he opened the door.
What's the difference between the tow truck door and the door of your house? The guy coming in, I mean, if he's a little bitty guy and he's threatening you.
Well, there is a difference between the tow truck door and your house.
What's the difference?
The guy is towing your car.
Yeah.
Right?
All right.
That is different than somebody coming into your house.
Yeah, but when you go in the truck, your vehicle is an extension of your home.
That's true, but it's not literally true. And so
it's true if you're getting attacked.
Okay, but common sense, assess the threat. You've got a guy that rode horses his whole life who's there, and I don't know, and it's not in any of the reporting on this, whether the Carlisle was aggressive at all with the guy, and he sounds like the kind of man that wouldn't have been overly aggressive. It would have been, hey, I always park here, and they let me wait until the next day to pay the $10. I don't know who called you, but let me go pay them and, you know, try to get out of this, because obviously they tow your car to get – by the time you get it out, you're $250 a $10 parking spot, and now the poor guy's dead.
He could have said that without opening the door. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he could have. Right? I don't know if he could have. It's still winter in New York. The guy was probably comfy and snug in his truck, and the only way for the guy to hear you was to open the door.
Maybe so. But we'll get it adjudicated and see what they say, because three sides to every story.
Okay. Well, Carlisle, I feel for you, buddy.
I feel for him too.
All right. That's a great segue into our next story. And speaking of rage incidents and road rage in particular, an Alabama man started a road rage fueled fight at a gas station in Niceville.
That shouldn't happen in Niceville.
Florida. I know. That's the most ironic part of the story. It was in Niceville.
Niceville.
Walton County Sheriff's Office say 40-year-old Alabama resident Thomas Keebler, who apparently has had multiple brushes with law enforcement so far in 2023, attacked three teenagers at a gas station after they did something he didn't like on the road. Surveillance footage from the gas station shows Keebler pulling into the station ahead of the teens, but he did not pull up to the pump. Instead, he blocks the teens in at the pump and clearly attempts to look as if he's trying to start something. If you are followed by someone in a road rage situation, that person waits till you stop somewhere before getting out of their own vehicle. It's probably a good indication a confrontation's about to occur. The video footage that I saw in this incident does not have audio, so I don't really have a good idea of what the teen said. But you can see at first Keebler was tugging on the door handles of a Kia Soul because he wanted a face-to-face confrontation. Like in so many incidents, once the targeted kids got out of the car, Keebler became more aggressive, eventually escalating into physical violence. He even at one point shoves a teen girl who got out of the Kia. She smartly runs off to find help as the man throws her friends to the ground and continues beating them. The man the teenage girl called over seemed to intervene and calm things down in the video. Keebler then starts to climb into his truck, but not before another man can be seen walking toward the truck, recording the incident on his phone as he points to the back of the truck and the license plate as Keebler drives away. That was a smart move because that was way that the Walton County Sheriff was able to catch this guy. But he, you know, this was a pretty big bowed up dude, older guy, but had just got out of jail. And, you know, the road rage is just in our neck of the woods.
Right.
There was someone recently killed, pulled on a man's door, tried to jump in the truck to hit him. And the guy shot him and killed him, and it was self-defense. And so you just don't know with these incidents.
I wish his kids hadn't gotten out of the car. I work road rages and stuff like that. And Mike, back to the other story where, you know, the people, you know, it's like being a keyboard warrior until they get actually pulled over or blocked in the person's.
Yeah, then it begins.
Man, we're going on the record. If you do that to me and you block me in and you pull in on the door, I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah.
So,
well, apparently that guy, let me see his picture again, Jim.
He's not a jockey at Aqueduct.
No, but he was a member, if you remember. He's not a jockey. The rest of his family made cookies, the Keebler Elves.
I thought you were saying he was a coin boy.
He was booted from the family. For being too big. And so he developed an attitude after that. And,
that's funny. That's sort of weird those two stories came
back. By the way, I love those. Are they gone? Did the elves go belly up? Because I don't see those cookies anymore.
And I don't really usually do sweets. So I found them like at the Dollar General store maybe 6 months or so ago. Yeah, that is a good cookie.
Those elves made good chocolate chips.
Yeah,
they do.
I didn't get the chocolate chip. I had the one like the shortbread on both sides and chocolate in the middle.
Yeah, I remember that. I don't forget what those were called. There's a girl who was the sister of somebody my son played basketball with in California for years. And I buy Girl Scout cookies from her every time that she sends a note saying she's selling Girl Scout cookies. And I went like crazy. I bought like, I don't know, 25 boxes of Girl Scout cookies. I didn't tell my wife anything about it. And they came the other day and she sees me with this big box and this big smile on my face. And she sees me open it and all of these boxes of cookies. She's like, what are you doing? She took them. She's hidden them. I don't know where any of them are in the house. But anyway, I don't know. The Keebler guy got me on a cookie roll. I'm very hungover, folks, and if you haven't picked up on that. And some of it's coming through here.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, yeah.
Time for some kinky crimes on Friday. Now, y'all, I have one warning before we get into this next story. Beware of the glazed donuts. And, y'all, I was assisted in the story by executive writer Mike Hagerbeck.
Oh, no. Don't be pushing the blame this way.
A Colorado grocery store worker has been charged with several counts of indecent exposure after police allege he masturbated on food items. That's right. Stephen Masalta was originally arrested in February after the Fort Collins Police Services alleged that he had been seen masturbating outside multiple businesses in view of employees, in at least one case in view of a juvenile, and that was in July of 2023. Following his arrest in February, police say further investigation revealed that Masalta worked at a Safeway grocery store and allegedly masturbated and ejaculated onto food items during the 2 months he worked at the store. Beware that Safeway special sauce, right? Police say they anticipate that there are additional victims and more charges that could follow. A statement from Safeway reads, "At Safeway, the safety of our customers and our associates is our top priority. We are deeply concerned about the allegations against the former associate, and we are cooperating with the Fort Collins Police and the Health Department in the ongoing investigation of this sticky situation."
That is so disgusting.
Nothing safe about that Safeway.
I'm pretty sure they didn't say that. But Masalta is charged with 14 counts of indecent exposure, 2 counts of attempted indecent exposure, 4 counts of unlawful sexual contact, 16 counts of attempted sexual assault on a child. That's right. This isn't really funny, but it is sick as shit. And this nut job needs to go fill some cream donuts in a bakery with rubber walls. And hopefully that happens because he's going to court on March 22nd. That reminds me, that's really not a laugh matter. Denny Perkins case when he and a cop, who I came up with, ejaculated on the kids.
Cupcakes,
and the wife was the fifth grade teacher, and she brought them to school and fed them to him. Sicko. But that's kinky, as well as kinky crimes for Friday.
Well, imagine working at that Safeway, and so this you find this out. Well, I guess you're finding it out way after the fact, which I don't know if that's worse or better, but if you knew immediately, I mean, you'd have to get rid of every bit of fruit and everything that was open in the store.
Yeah, the problem is, I'm sure most of it's been sold after they found out. Even if they got it on video, that just opens up a whole shit show. That's like the cops in Denny's case trying to go identify the kids that ate the cupcakes.
No doubt about it.
Shit show.
Yeah, I wonder what they did, if they could do anything to just make it, to clean up that store. I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to be a shopper in that supermarket days after that, that's for sure.
There it is.
Banjo.
All righty. I don't know if I think this guy is that big a dummy, but it's a great story. Have either of you guys ever played the Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege on Xbox?
I didn't play it on Xbox. I played it on PlayStation for just a minute.
Yeah, I did too, on PlayStation.
Okay, never so you both are aware of the game. That's a tactical shooter video game.
I used to read the books too.
Yep.
Okay, so today's banjo lover kind of proves you can be a dumb criminal even if you're not a dummy. 17-year-old Elijah Siraki had been playing this game, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege, moments before police swarmed his home.
All right.
Armed officers, this happened in Kentucky, were responding to a 911 call about a teenager who said he had killed 2 people. In that moment, young Elijah understood what must have happened. He looked quickly at his phone and he saw one outgoing call to 911 and then 3 subsequent incoming calls from 911.
Mm-mm.
Shit, he thought. I must have butt-dialed 911. And then he realized how loudly he was playing the video game, which was filled with automatic gunfire.
Oh, Lord.
Siraki didn't know it yet, but what the 911 dispatcher had heard was him inadvertently admitting to killing 2 people during the 4-minute 911 butt-dial call.
This can't be real.
Oh, no, it's real. I've got the video. The police video shows Siraki walking out of his home with his arms raised. He begins to explain to officers that he's okay and the call was a mistake. Quote, I was playing a game and I butt-dialed the phone. And you can hear him saying this on the video. His voice, and you could tell he's scared shitless as he's doing it. So his voice is shaking as he's talking. And then a cop yells back, okay, are you sure? And you can hear that come through the video as well. And then Siraki says, wait, what? No, it's only me home. call him to you, one officer says. And then another one says, keep walking to us. And then you can hear and see Siraki begin to slowly make his way out of the house toward the officers. And an officer says, is everybody inside okay? Siraki says, nobody's inside, it's only me. Okay, bring him out. Hey, buddy, what's your name? Another is heard asking Siraki as he gets closer to the officers. The second they can get him, they grab him, they throw him on the ground, they put his arms behind his back and cuff him. And the cop says, were you playing video games? And he said, yeah, I was. And so Siraki was interviewed on this podcast like the week after that and said that, I got on my phone to watch TikTok. That's what I usually do when I die. And I see a call on my phone. It's 911. I started freaking out. I got three calls from the dispatch trying to call me to figure out what's going on. In no more than 2 minutes, my dogs start barking at the front door, and they're pretty smart dogs. And then they run over to me at the couch, on the couch and in the other room, and they run back to the front door. The teen said he thinks a call was made by the iPhone's emergency call feature that occurs when the volume and power button are pushed simultaneously. He said there were four police cars outside the house. I had two decisions. I either stay inside and they knock on the front door, or I walk outside with my hands up. So I'm like, if I walk outside with my hands up, what's going to go wrong? Well, I mean, lucky for him that they gave him the opportunity to walk outside with his right. with his hands up. Because if you got a call, you're sending four cruisers there because somebody's claimed they killed two people. You're expecting a pretty intense situation. And so, Elijah may not be our dumbest criminal, but he's one of the luckiest after that. Yeah. So I can think of a number of ways this thing could have gone.
So when they took him to the ground and cuffed him, they weren't arresting him. They were detaining him.
They were holding him until they could go look at the house and figure it out. But, man, I'm surprised something like that doesn't happen more often, right? I mean, there's so much butt dialing that goes on that
That is a dumb criminal for today. Speaking of butt dial, any final thoughts, Woody?
Being here, Parrish Forensics and Louisiana Pet Crematory has been awesome.
Yeah,
and two Christians, and we had some fire boudin for breakfast.
Some real boudin.
Coffee too.
And I'd only been here on a couple of trips to play basketball at Cajun Dome. So I'd only seen that part of Lafayette. Where we went last night was beautiful. That whole area was gorgeous.
All the Vermilion River, all the big homes.
Down by the river, I was really impressed with it. And the restaurant was great too.
There it was. 30 years ago, none of that was there when I lived here. Yeah. So, but anyway, we love and appreciate each every one of y'all. Thank you.
Ruthie was mad at you, by the way.
Oh, because Ruthie, I'm sorry, sweetie.
She wanted to cook for us last night.
Yeah. I didn't get a message from anything, but I know she's here.
You're
right, Ruthie. I love you. We love all y'all, and thank you for liking and sharing. If you would, go leave us a review. We appreciate you.
That's it. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Aglets.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.